Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us start our third second section. Thank you. 4, 8, 9. Please be seated. Since we studied the topic of one true church, so there are two issues ask. How do we see that the salvation before TJC was established? As what we mentioned before, God is the one who is going to judge everybody, right? Well, when the second coming of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, the house of God will be judged first. So the true church will be judged first. And then for those who can be saved, then we together with God, or God together with us, is going to judge all nations. And that's what the Bible says. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, God and the saint is going to judge the whole nation. Then how God is going to judge the whole nation is according to his words. That's what recorded in the Bible. Jesus Christ say, I come not to judge, but to save. So the first time Jesus came to the world, he was so merciful, he was so compassionate, and compared with the God in Old Testament, seems the God in the Old Testament are very justice. So some of the truth seekers say, I'd rather to believe the Jesus in New Testament because he killed nobody, right? In God, Old Testament killed so many people. But actually, the God in the Old Testament and the God in New Testament are the same God. But what's the difference? Because in the Old Testament, God's mercy and God's justice, sometimes it comes the same time. All right, God destroyed the generation Noah. Before that, God's mercy asked Noah to build the ark. That's God's mercy. And they refuse to accept God's mercy, then they have to face God's justice. But in the New Testament time, mercy comes first, Jesus Christ, salvation. And then where God's justice? The second coming of Jesus. That the justice will be done. So the second coming of Jesus Christ, that what will happen, you can never imagine because that will never happen before. Was never happened before. But that will never happen again. Why? Because that will be the end of the world. So the final judgment will be a very terrible day. So the God's mercy and justice, no change. Now in New Testament, only the time spent between mercy and justice has been prolonged. And the prolonged, according to the Second Peter, is not because God delayed. It is because God is waiting for more people to repent. It's just like in the book of Jeremiah. For 23 years, God asked Jeremiah to convey the same message. The message is very simple. Return. Don't worship idol. Right? Only so simple message. And this simple message has been preached from the morning to the evening for 23 years. Right? If your parents tell you the same sentence for not 23 years, right? 23 days, you drive you crazy. Huh? 23 years, nobody repent. It's not because God don't love people, but it's people who don't want to repent. So captivity come, a lot of people die. So the second coming of Jesus Christ will be a very terrible day. And before TJC come, as what we mentioned in the book of Romans, the conscience accuses will become a standard of judgment. Even the Ten Commandments, even the Ten Commandments, look, the second six commandment, the conscience will tell us what is right, what is wrong, right? The fifth commandment, honor your parents, even you don't believe in Jesus, you still know that's right. The sixth, do not murder, right? Everybody know it. Seven, don't commit adultery. Eight, don't steal. Oh. Nine, don't bear false testimony. Ten, don't covet. Oh. So if God used the Ten Commandments to judge the people, the standard is very high. Oh. The standard is very high. Oh. It's more possible to be saved through the grace of Jesus. Now, there's another question and ask, how come Jesus already died and salvation is available and so many people are unable to repent and believe in Jesus' salvation? The same thing. The heart of people hardened. And according to 2 Corinthians, talk about Satan blind people's eye, blind people's eye. In the worldly eyesight, everybody are very sharp, right? They can look very far. They know how to invest their life, make money, enjoy the life. But the eyesight, spiritual eyesight, be blind by Satan. So they cannot see salvation. That is the main reason. And the Bible say, under the teaching of the Bible, everybody are all sinner. But for those who don't read the Bible, are they going to be judged in the same standard? Just according to what we just said before, right? God is going to, and Jesus said, those who don't believe, the word I speak will judge them. So the words of God become two-edged sword. On the one hand, it to save. On the other hand, it's a standard to judge. And for those who never heard about the teaching of the Bible, Jesus Christ used a conscience to judge people. Still, not many people can be saved. That's what we know from the teaching of the Bible. But actually, it is a God himself who execute the judgment. We just try to know how will God judge people so we can prepare it. Now we come back to the teaching material, a view of TJC in 100 years from the book of Acts. So we look into the book of Acts and compare with the teaching of the book of Acts to 100 years old of TJC to see what did we see. Now we come back to teaching material 3D. Yesterday we talked about geographical barrier, had a breakthrough of geographical barrier. In 1990s to the year 1970, 1980, and 1990s, these 30 years, TJC have a great breakthrough. Gospel preached to Africa, and the gospel reached to Central and South America. This all led by the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts chapter 15, we can see that the breakthrough of truth. Acts chapter 15.
Let's see Acts chapter 15. Verse 1, a certain man came down from Judea and taught the brethren. So unless you were circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So a group of people, of course, this group of people are Jews, right? They went to the Gentile Christian, the Christian converted from Gentile. And teach them that if you want to be saved, you must be circumcised. All right. Since they thought circumcision related to salvation, they will insist everyone, not only the Jews, including the Gentile, has to be circumcised. And then, verse 2. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small discussion and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about these questions. So there are a few issues involved here. The first issue, how to resolve the dispute of the truth. And obviously, they sent Paul, Barnabas, and certain others of them, referring to verse 1, some people who insist circumcision has something to do with salvation. And Paul and Barnabas strongly oppose the Gentile has to be circumcised. And this group of Jews, they strongly advocate the Gentile Christian has to be circumcised, then who should they resolve the issue? To Jerusalem. Why go to Jerusalem instead of Antioch, right? Antioch probably is closer. Because Jerusalem has an apostle and elders. So if we look into the book of Acts, who leads the church? Of course, it's God leads the church. But God is invisible. How did God lead the church? So God ordained the worker to lead the church. So apostolic church was led by apostles and elders. And apostles and elders was chosen by God as the leader of the church. So God led the church through the elder and the apostles. So today, we look into the church. Who really leads the church to TJC? Of course, it is Jesus Christ who is the head and who leads the church. But if we go back to the biblical teaching, the church are leading by the ordained minister. This is the first part, ordained minister, just like what here mentioned about here, apostles and elders. And the second, if we go back to Acts chapter 6, when there was a dispute that the Gentile widow was neglected in distribution of food. So they said there's three important criteria, right? Good reputation, full of Holy Spirit, or full of wisdom. And then they choose how many people? How many people do they choose? You don't know. Acts chapter 6, how many people do they choose? Seven, right? So that seven people, the Bible did not mention about ordination. Did not mention about ordination. So these seven people together with the elders and apostles, they become a group of core member of the apostolic church. So today, the core member of the
TJC is a church council member elected by the congregation with the ordained minister, and they are the one who lead the church. Oh. So we need to look into a little bit about our church operation. What's the difference from the worldly organization? You know, in United States system, right, there's executive, and another one is judicial, right? And another one is legislative, right? And these three branches emphasize one very important point is what? Check and balance, yeah. So some people are very well educated in the church, and they try to apply the church must check and balance. Is that biblical? Oh, somebody knocked the head, right? It's biblical. If you think a check and balance is right, raise your hand. Some people knock the head. Okay, check and balance, raise your hand. And nobody raise your hand. If you think it's wrong, raise your hand. Hey, one third, raise your hand. All the other two-thirds is no opinion either. This way is God right, that way is right, right? Oh. Check and balance is not biblical. It's worldly. Right? Oh. How come it's worldly? Because in a worldly organization, what does it mean democracy? What does it mean democracy? Democracy, according to the Lincoln, right, is of the people, for the people, by the people. That's called democracy, right? Who owns the United States? Huh? People, right? Who is what? The master of the United States is people, right? So democracy emphasizes the people are the owner of the country. Let me ask you, who owns the church, TJC? Huh? Through Jesus. Who is the owner? The owner is Jesus Christ. Whoever pays the price is the owner, right? Did you pay the price? The council member pays the price. No, nobody died for anybody, right? And today you are in church because you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So who owns the church? It's Jesus Christ owns the church. Oh, right? So we are one family. So in the church, we should not emphasize check and balance. If you want to emphasize check and balance, then you need to have three branches, right? Executive. Oh. Legislative, judicial. Okay? Yeah, some people consider, right, USGA, executive, right? And then NCC is what? Legislative, right? And who is the judicial? It's very difficult. This concept cannot apply in the church. Right? We are the servant of God, and Holy Spirit moves in the church. Right? And the worker of God, how come it's so important to emphasize the spiritual qualification of worker of God? Because spiritual qualification will make a person to manage the church spiritually. What does that mean, spiritually? Spiritually means manage the church according to the will of God, according to the teaching of the Bible, according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's called spiritual. Oh. So if any people who has an idea to apply these three check and balance into the church is going to cause the wrong direction. The church is going to go to wrong direction, and the church will gradually become worldly organization. It will become very secular. Right? When they have a problem of the church truth, and then they go to Jerusalem and have a meeting with the apostle and the elders. And apostle and elder, they have a spiritual wisdom, and then they have a spiritual authority, so they can judge from the viewpoint of God to a matter, and to see in the eyes of God what is right, what is wrong, and that is the most important. Then we come back to the question itself, circumcision. Now, in the chapter 15, you can see seems double standard. Here, they emphasize the Gentile Christian don't have to be circumcised, right? Ah, but can you find in chapter 16, they circumcise a person? Chapter 16, they circumcise a person. Who? Chapter 16, verse 3. Chapter 16, verse 3. And Paul wanted to have him go with him, right? Have him with him. Who are the him, first him and second him? Yes, have him, have Timothy go with him, go with Paul. And then he took him and circumcised him because the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Before, they just have a resolution been reached, right? In chapter 15, verse 18, you go back to chapter 15, verse 18. Knowing that God from eternity are all his work, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those who are among the Gentiles who are turning to God, right? But you write to them to abstain from things polluted by idol, from sexual immorality, from things are strangled, and from blood. So, the Gentile Christian exempt from circumcision. But Timothy want to follow Paul. They emphasize you must be circumcised. It's double standard, right? How do you explain? If New Testament, you don't have to be circumcised, then how come Timothy had to be circumcised? Is that double standard? No check, no balance. So how to explain that? In the Old Testament, start from where? Abraham. When God tried to choose him to become God's people, right? And God promised him with a great nation. God promised him with a piece of land filled with honey and milk, right? After God promised him and make a covenant, then he has to be circumcised. So circumcision becomes a sign of God's chosen people, right? In the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came, circumcision represents baptism. The other way, it represents remove the lust. We belong to God. You must renew the lust. That's the meaning of circumcision. So physical circumcision, it become a culture. It become a tradition. It had nothing to do with salvation. So for the Jewish people, they have gone through circumcision for 1,000 years already. It become a tradition, very powerful tradition. It's deeply rooted in tradition. But right now, you become a Christian because of tradition. If you want to be circumcised, fine. Even if you don't want to be circumcised, fine. But because of tradition, you have to be circumcised. Otherwise, you cannot survive in that tradition, right? But that tradition itself is not contracted to the teaching of the Bible. It's only become culture, had nothing to do with salvation. Gentile Christians don't have to be circumcised. But Timothy, the Bible 16 specially mentioned Timothy's father was a Gentile. Why the Bible mentioned that way? Because Gentiles don't have circumcision. So Timothy did not have circumcision. But now they want to follow Paul to a group of the Jews. And Jews emphasize on circumcision. So unless you do it, according to their custom. Otherwise,
you are going to face a great resistance, a great resistance to preach the gospel to them. Because of this reason, for the convenience of preaching the gospel, they had to be circumcised. So in the 1 Corinthians, Paul mentioned about to all men, I become all men, right? That exactly the spirit of circumcision of Timothy. Being flexible. If the culture is not contracted to the teaching of the Bible, be flexible. Just follow that culture when you reach to that area in order to preach the gospel to that area. For example, in the United States, when you greet people, how do you greet? Shake the hand, right? In Oriental, in Japan, when you greet people, how? Bow down 90 degrees, right? 15 degrees is not enough. If you are very sincere, 90 degrees, all right? But in some South Asia, when they shake the hand, not only hold the hand, they are moving forward, right? But you go there, you just follow them, right? Now, you know, many people, when they talk, they use a head to a gesture to expression of their agree. I agree. What does that mean? When you say, I agree, what you knock the head, right? But when you go to the India, I agree this way. I don't agree this way. Exactly the opposite, all right? But when you go to Hawaii, how do Hawaii people greet other people? You hug, right? Yeah, you hug, right? It's totally different. But this kind of culture has nothing to do with salvation. It's not contracted to the teaching of the Bible. So be flexible. When you go to Hawaii, you hug, just hug, right? And then you go to Japan, bow down, just bow, right? Shake hand, just head. If you want to move this direction, then it's fine. This direction is fine. This direction is fine, right? Just follow the culture. So this is what the Bible tried to tell us in the apostolic time. Now, we come back to nowadays. How can TJC gospel be spread out? But we have to remove unnecessary barrier, which means the culture and traditional difference. If that had nothing to do with salvation, not against the Bible, just follow it. Just like what Acts chapter 15 and 16, a very vivid example. Gentiles don't have to be circumcised, but Paul, you want to preach to the Jews, then you have to be circumcised because you are a Jew. All right? But now, in reality, one day I went to Baltimore together with a brother. When we were passing a small town, that day was a Halloween. We see a Christian church, right? There is a signboard, celebrate Halloween. How do you feel? Celebrate Halloween, right? To the American culture, we follow American culture, right? But if you study in depth, Halloween is what? Something related to what? Pagan idol worship. Even related to demonic spirit. Right? So Halloween, you adorn yourself, a skeleton or something like that, look like a ghost. Why should you do that? So we don't follow that kind of culture and tradition. But Thanksgiving. It's good, right? Thanksgiving, what's wrong with that? It's just Thanksgiving. I come back home, a family reunion. It's good. At Thanksgiving, we come to the church, and then we give thanks to God. This tradition has no contradiction with the teaching of the Bible, so we just follow. You help your family reunion. It helps us to give thanks to God, right? And to shorten the distance between us and God. And a lot of Oriental tradition, then a lot of them we should not follow, right? When people die, you should not bow down to the deceased. Even should not bow the head. Why? Because when the person pass away, physically still look like the person,
but the true eye of that person, the soul, already left. So that person, the physical body, is nothing but dust. Why you bow down? Or why you knock their head? All right? And traditionally, they bow down and knock their head, they associate with some kind of superstition. So we don't follow that. All right? So a lot of Oriental tradition has something to do with superstition that we don't follow. In Chinese, in the Lunar New Year, they used to give a red envelope with even $1. Right? Do we have to follow it? Do we follow it? You just think about it. If I don't use a red envelope, I use a white envelope, what is going to happen? If you know the culture very deeply, white envelope is to giving some family, somebody deceased, by pass away. And red envelope is to give what? It's some kind of celebration. So there are some superstition attached there. The best way is just don't follow it. So culture has nothing to do with the teaching of the Bible. It's fine. Against the teaching of the Bible, we have to refuse it. So when the gospel reached to all different kinds of ethnic group, they are going to have different kind of custom, different kind of culture. For example, if you travel to Africa, most of the women veil the head, right? Most of all women veil the head. Our IA missionary, once upon a time in Ghana, they tried to discourage them from veil the head. How come? Because veil the head is very uncomfortable, right? Whether it's so hard, they still have to veil the head, right? But it caused confusion. And later on, we discuss and we find out, they want to veil the head. They have nothing to do with the teaching of the Bible. That's fine. Even they want to veil the second piece, third piece of cloth, it's fine, right? You're against nothing. That was another example. We reach to point D, right? The truth. Should doctrine were revealed to the apostle. And in this chapter 15, talk about spiritual holiness. Right? Don't eat the food offered to the idol. And don't eat the blood and strangle animal. And then don't involve with sexual immorality. The church become clean, become holy. So after they convey the message to the congregation, and they keep the resolution, and then the church start to grow. How come the church start to grow? Because that resolution keep the church pure, and that resolution keep the church in unity. So if the church are pure and unified, and God will abide in the church, and church will grow. So number two, TJC will have to build up a new culture in the church. New culture, how to build it? New culture in Jesus Christ. This is breakthrough. The four different kind of breakthrough. Any question? Mooncake, Oh, moon cake. Oh. Moon cake. I only enjoy moon cake. I forgot the story behind. Yeah. Brother. Duanwu Jie is different from moon cake. Well, they think about it and they will answer it. But at least, if it's not has nothing to do with the superstition, right? We can eat that. Yeah. If it is related to idol worshiping or to other spirit, then we should abstain from doing it. Yeah. Okay. Now come to Apostolic Church. How do their members multiplied? And then we look into the Apostolic Church, and then we come back to see nowadays how can we multiply the members in local church? Because the script is here, right? And the blueprint is here. If we want our church to grow, just follow the blueprint and do it. In the book of Acts, you can see there are at least five reasons the church multiplied. And these five reasons in our local church, in TJC, in 100 years, almost every reason is valid through our experience. Because we practice one of the five, or two of the five, or five of the five. So the church start to grow. If you see a church keep on growing, you can see the church at least adopt a few of the five reasons. Now we look into Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 41, talk about 3,000 baptized. That means they formally established a church, the first church in chapter 2, verse 41. And chapter 2, verse 42, talk about the life they live, a new life. And after they live a new life, and then 47 is a conclusion of the new life. What will that new life impact the church? Chapter 2, verse 47, the end. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So church keep on growing. In today's turn, every day has somebody baptized, right? Today baptized 10, another tomorrow baptized 20, then another day baptized 30. Every day have baptism. The church keep on growing. And church keep on growing is because they have transformed their life according to verse 42 to 46. Now, we look into verse 42. What kind of life did they transform? 42. And they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, in apostles' teaching and fellowship, and in breaking the bread and in prayer. Actually, these are the four major content of a new life.
To baptize a person, of course, is not easy. You try to convert a person, it's not easy, right?
If you have ever done the personal evangelism, you know to convert a person is not easy. If you hear anybody in the church keep on emphasizing a growth rate, next year our church must have a 10% growth rate. If you see anybody so vocally advocate the growth rate, very possibly this person never bring anybody to church. Really. If you really have the experience of bringing somebody to the church, you are going to have an experience. Growth rate is not in our own control. Right? Paul said, I saw the sea, Apollo, water. Who make it grow? God make it grow. Now, if we have the experience of bringing the people to the church, first, bring the people to the church is not easy already. The second, the people come to the church, they can listen to the gospel, and they have to understand the gospel. They understand the Holy Spirit. They are waiting to kneel down and pray the Holy Spirit. It's not easy, really. Unless really God have mercy, open your heart, touch them. All right? And after they receive the Holy Spirit, do they want to baptize? It's not our own control. So growth rate is not our own control. If we say we have to preach gospel, preach heart is fine. If we say we have to do our best to invite the members, it's fine. All right? Everybody invite one friend to the church, that's fine. But if we say we set the church growth rate in 10%, it's not biblical. Because it's under the hand of God. You cannot control it. Don't you think Noah want everybody to be saved? Yes. Eventually, nobody won't be saved. It's out of the control of Noah, right? Now, we look into first one. They keep the apostles' teaching. So what does that mean? You know, before we convert to Christ, we control ourselves. I live according to what I want. But after I've received baptism, I belong to Jesus. I have to live according to what Jesus wants me to live. And this kind of change is very difficult. It's not easy. The longer you are, the more difficult you transformed. It's just like getting married, right? So, according to the Bible, right, if you can be independent, right, because marriage is to leave your parents. Leave your parents is not just bring a luggage and go. You must be mature enough, right, to be independent. You cannot get married and Daddy, help me to pay the rent. You cannot do that, right? When you have are mature enough to be independent, then you can get married, right? But if a person wants to get married, you keep on single until 40 and 50. Very difficult to get married, right? Why? Because you already get used to your own lifestyle. You already get used to your own character. When you get married, it's not a partner, right? It becomes one body, right? So it's very difficult to adjust to adjust to each other. No, the same thing. After we live for tens of decades of life, we already very much already have our own way of life, own way of thinking. Right? Then all of a sudden, you believe in Jesus. You have to change to according to apostles, Jesus' teaching. You need to have great determination. But after we change, then our life is transformed. So this is the first change. So the Bible say, let's see Jesus in you, right? There's a him, right? How can we let see Jesus in us? We read the Bible and we do according to the Bible, and then people will see Jesus in us. That's simple. And the second one is fellowship. Fellowship is the spiritual bonding. Through the fellowship, everybody can be bonded together. If a person have no fellowship, you see the newly baptized member, they come along, they go along, and very dangerous. Probably cannot last too long in the church. But if you have a fellowship, have a spiritual bond, through the love of Jesus Christ, many people have a fellowship, and then this church is like a family. It's not easy to lose the members. So you see, if the church, those inactive members are only a few, right? The loss rate are very low. Usually the church have very good fellowship. So this is the second one. And the third one, we will continue after we have break. Let's pray inside. Amen. Break.